Energy is the most important ingredient in content creation, in anything, really. Relationship building, insert whatever you want. Energy is the most important ingredient in insert whatever you want. If energy isn't there, you know very quickly that person isn't invested. They're not engaged. And they're not willing to make the best decisions for you or your company or your clients, insert whatever you want, responsibility that you have in the company, to take that piece of work, that creation, to the level that you expect or the standard that you expect. And that's why I think energy management takes the most work. It takes a lot of energy for energy management.
Welcome to Voices of Leadership, my podcast that tells the stories of women who are redefining success and thriving on the edge of change. My guest today is Ginny Saraswati Cook, a successful entrepreneur in the podcasting space. However, this story isn't just about podcasting or entrepreneurship. It's about airports, Knicks games, and cats. My favorite part of this episode are the stories Ginny tells about how the most meaningful moments often happen when you're least expecting them. Ginny is the founder of Ginny Media, a global podcasting production company that works with everyone from ambitious entrepreneurs to household name brands. But Ginny doesn't just produce podcasts. She produces Perspective. Her work helps people and companies tune into their frequency and amplify stories that might otherwise go unheard. She's also the voice behind The Ginny Show, now in its seventh season, a show that, like its host, keeps evolving. This season, Ginny describes it as her personal masterclass, an exploration of ideas, questions, and curiosities that have been occupying her mind. This conversation left me inspired to pay closer attention to those in-between moments and to stay curious about where they might lead. And I hope it does for you too. Hi, Ginny. Welcome to the podcast. I'm so excited for this conversation. I always love talking to women in podcasting and media.
Thank you for having me, Amy. I'm excited to be on the show.
Oh, I'm so excited too, because also, you're more than just a podcaster, and we'll get into all the entrepreneurship and all the things that you do. But first, is my research correct in telling me that you got married last year?
Yeah, well done. I don't know who your sources are, but clearly you need to give them a raise, because it's accurate. Yes, I got married in September last year to the love of my life, Aaliyah, and been happily married for 7 months as we record this.
Congratulations. That's very exciting.
Yeah.
It's always fun to hear things like that. I always love dresses and parties and all of those things. That's fantastic. Congratulations.
Thank you so much, Amy.
And you also live in New York City, and we have family there. And so we visit quite often and get to experience it sort of from a local perspective, which I love. So what is it about New York City you love most?
So much about it, Amy. I mean, I've answered this in different ways over the last few years. You know, originally when it started, it was, the energy. That's typically the first step into why you love New York. The other thing is the way the city appreciates individuality in a way that, you know, some places don't. Creativity, how New Yorkers, nothing really frazzled them. You know, they don't really get surprised by anything. But one thing I really loved, which I just experienced yesterday, and you're the first person I'm sharing this with.
Yay!
Well, when I was on the way to the airport, right, the Knicks game was playing. Like, I'm a huge Knicks fan.
Love it.
And I was watching the game, but I had to kind of move around. And there was this shop closed in the airport. The netting was up, but there were two Knicks fans wearing caps watching the game. And there was just a group of us huddled outside, just watching through, just to see if we'd win. It was a really close game too. But there is just this sense, everybody, you see the cleaners at the airport, they're watching the game on their phone. Everybody is just so invested. And in that moment, like, you look around, we're at an airport, right? There's people from different cultures, different communities, but we all want the Knicks to win. And I really love that about the city, because there is this unification in the most disastrous moments. And I'm not just talking about sports, but there is this sense of, okay, we're all on the same side here. And I think I love that about New York, because it really allows you to grow into your own shell, and weirdly supported by people who are kind of going through the same life in the city, or trying to figure out life in the city too. So a lot of the many things I love about New York, but I'll go back to the quote. I think I said this on a podcast a while back, but it was, wherever you are in New York, you're exactly where you're supposed to be. And I think in that moment is like, we were all supposed to be watching that game and watching our beloved Knicks choke again. and we can grieve that moment together. So long answer there for you, Amy.
Oh, no, that's a great answer. I love it. And we can relate. I mean, in Toronto, we're like that with hockey. Everything stops. And we are also grieving the loss. So we can absolutely relate to that. I've been in many places where everyone stops and we're all doing the same thing, or we don't want to look because we're like, oh, no. So, I understand that completely.
Yeah.
So I'll have to look out for that next time I'm there.
That's fantastic. Team do you go for in Canadian hockey? I'm still getting used to the teams there. The only team I really know is the Toronto Raptors. I don't know if you go for them, but
So they're the basketball team. Yeah. So we're always, I mean, it's the only basketball team in Canada. And when they won a few years back, it was very similar. I mean, it was very unifying. And I've heard so many people tell stories about where they were and what they did and all of those things. Hockey can be a little more divisive. Two teams in Ontario. Toronto and Montreal are always rivals, and then there's teams out west. But for me, when it comes down to this time in the playoffs, if there's a Canadian team in, I'm in. Like, I'm a good Canadian, and I'm always there for the Canadian team. So that's where we're at right now, because there's only one left, and they're from Edmonton. So that's what we're cheering for right now.
Okay. Thank you. I'm going to kind of lean more into hockey. So thank you for the kind of the.
You have a great hockey team and great hockey culture in New York City. Absolutely, you do.
Yeah, I mean, the Rangers, the Devil. Yeah. Devils are New Jersey, and we also have the Islanders. So
there's a lot going on there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Awesome.
So let's turn to podcasting and business, because you are much more than just a podcaster. You're also an entrepreneur. And I'm always curious to learn from female-owned businesses, you know, your stories and your philosophies. So you do have a fascinating journey into the world of audio. So how did podcasting find you?
By accident, as I think, which is kind of, it finds you by accident. And you don't actually realize, like, when I started in podcasting, it was by consequence of being a radio host. You know, our radio shows were turned into podcasts. But I've seen the industry grow over the last, you know, almost 20 years since I've been in it. And it started from, hey, FM, it's on-demand audio for radio stations, right? And then it kind of went into, okay, certain niche communities are putting out podcasts for on-demand content, and now it's become like every person, every celebrity has a podcast. It's being used as a vehicle to attract, you know, leads, or it's used as a brand awareness vehicle for even brands or just entrepreneurs and small businesses. So I've seen it kind of evolve, and my evolution in it, I've kind of had to evolve with it. So it started off like, okay, this is kind of a spin-off show from my radio show. Now it's kind of, you know, following me on the journey of, okay, I'm an entrepreneur now. I've got to figure out the day to day. Now I'm producing podcasts and managing a whole production team. How do I keep the podcast standards going? So it's kind of evolved as time has gone on. And what I really like about podcasting is it really does encourage conversations, just like what you and I are having, Amy. And I'll go back to the sports analogy that we're talking about with hockey. When you go to a sports game, and this is what I find fascinating about humanity at the moment, right? You go to a sports game, it's really the only arena where polarity and a difference of opinion is allowed, embraced to an extent, and like appropriately accepted, right? Like, I like at the moment, Indiana Pacers fan in the arena, I don't like you and I don't agree with you. Outside of the arena, I don't want anything bad to happen to you, but in that arena alone, you and I are not friends until these playoffs are over, right? But again, like, our difference of opinion, but it doesn't need to go anywhere. It's like, it's permitted. And I think sometimes we need to get uncomfortable to have those conversations. So you asked me how I got into podcasting. It started out there. And now I feel like it's evolving into more of like, hey, how do we facilitate conversations in a way that we learn something, we can be guided to something, or we kind of explore something that we may want to learn more about. So, yeah.
It's an interesting journey, and you have to grow with it because it is a evolving piece of media right now. So it's interesting to hear how you started out and how you had to kind of grow with it to sort of get where you are today.
Yeah.
And I know you talk a lot about, you know, bringing light to unknown voices and stories. So how do you do that? And there are so many unknown voices and stories. I mean, for us, we work on amplifying the voices of independent podcasters. So what kind of stories do you work on sort of bringing light to?
different stories in terms of we have podcasts on it's called Kinswomen that we it's no longer a regular release, but it's a podcast with two women from different background on how, you know, allyship and community is important. It obviously communities that don't get voices or platforms to share their experiences, stories, you know, that is a platform that we love to cater for them. Other ways we work with brands are we work with like people in the technology spaces that are pretty much shaping the future of America. And I say that really grandly, but they work for like literally national security. They protect America from threat. But you don't hear the stories about the guy who's coding or like wiring things to make sure, hey, you know, your software, it's good. Hey, your technology, your infrastructure, it's good. Hey, your air control system, it's good. We don't hear about those things, right? We just hear about the fantastical side of it that's reported in the media. But those stories, like, I love learning about them. It's so fascinating, you know, how people go through their journeys, how they end up where they are. Even to stories about, you know, people who are innovating, you know, microimaging or like theranostics or radiology, how to make healthcare more accessible or efficient, how to make cancer screenings more accessible and efficient. So it's just different voices from different communities, different sets of expertise that we're able to elevate and help coordinate productions for to turn into media. And even things like traveling, like what are the coolest places to travel to? Not because, you know, there's an Instagrammable moment, but the experience, the ambience, things that you probably wouldn't know to check out. Those are the things that we're giving voice to. For experience, for learning, and just to elevate communities, really.
That sounds like such a wide array of stories. I'm going to have to dig a little deeper and check them out.
That's
fascinating.
Yeah.
You're also a podcast host of The Ginny Show, which has been on for many, many years. I listened to the mother-in-law one before Christmas, I think. I loved that. Very relatable. I thought it was great. Do you have a favorite interview or guest moment from your podcast?
Oh, you know, the new season I'm currently recording, the first season I feel that, I mean, I say that after every season. I feel like I'm a different person every season, but because, you know, last year, I think getting married is a huge moment in anybody's life, right? You find your person, you like, it's the biggest commitment you make to another human being other than children, obviously. But I think I've changed a lot as a person. I still am changing and evolving, which is something that I'm open to doing. But this particular season, there's things that I have learned about people, about like, and as you learn more about yourself, you have the questions that you can ask people and connect to people with, right? So I would say the guests I have this season, you know, Craig Ballantyne, who is known as the world's most disciplined man. So he shares the fine line between freedom and discipline. He also shares about how like there's a dark side of discipline too, which I thought was absolutely fascinating. And then there was Alyssa Goodman who shared, you know, all these health myths that we believe. You know, the quote on Instagram, but first coffee. No, you need to have two glasses of water before you have your coffee. And then just things like Gary Zukav, who is a person who's been interviewed by Oprah over 30 times.
Wow.
He has all these just wisdom about like life and partnership and how we learn and grow as humans. So I just feel like this season is like it's a masterclass in life and anything you want to learn about life, boundaries, and anything else.
Wow, that's ambitious. Is there a particular theme to the season, or I just like to talk to anyone that I like to talk to? So is it more like that?
It's more of like, I think the intention that I set for this season is I want to learn, and by, you know, as a default of me learning, I want to ask the questions that my audience would like to learn and glean value from. So when you ask these questions about, okay, what is the dark side of discipline? How can someone lean more into discipline and forget other parts of their life? I think they're questions that everyday people want to know the answers to, or there's questions that people actually have been thinking about, but they don't have the expert or the person to guide them to answers. So for me, it was the intention of this season, we're going to learn things and I'm going to learn with you. So we're taking this class together, essentially.
Wow. Well, I'm excited to learn along with you. When does the season come out?
It's coming out next month in June. So we're launching it the middle of June 15th. Ginny Show will be out. So perfect. I'm excited for you guys to learn about the new season.
Yes, I always like, I'm an ongoing learner, so I'm in. Absolutely, it's great.
Amazing.
So you've referenced, you know, a little bit as we talk about the podcast you produce and the one that you have. So you have more than just a podcast, and you have Ginny Media, and I'd like to learn a little bit more about that. So what is the core purpose or mission behind Ginny Media?
So our job is to elevate millions to be seen and heard and have access to those who want to hear and see their content, essentially, if I am to put in a mission statement. But we are essentially a podcast production house. I would say we're more of a media production house now with the evolution of video content and video podcasting. So we manage the podcast productions for entrepreneurs, Fortune 500 companies and brands who want a more intimate way of connecting with their audiences, and podcasting is an exceptional vehicle for that.
Wow, that sounds, and how did you start? Was it starting with your podcast and it grew from there, or did you produce someone's podcast and start from there?
It pretty much by accident too, Amy. Yeah,
we have very similar journeys. Mine's not as big as yours, but I agree. That's where I started as well.
Purely by accident, I started my own podcast. I love doing it. Podcasting, radio, audio was something that I did with love. I worked voluntarily for an organization called Joy 94.9. They're a radio station in Melbourne. And I did that voluntarily for 10 years because I loved it so much. No matter what was going on in my day job, I always found a place and time for Joy. And when I started my own podcast, I stumbled into people who were like, hey, I saw your radio background. Can you show me what you do and how you do it? And then I accidentally became a podcast producer. And then when I got a few clients from Australia and overseas, I accidentally built a company. So that's essentially what happened.
I love those stories, though. They're very relatable and good for you. And you've grown it into something. And, you know, it's lasted more than 5 years, which is kind of one of those markers that people talk about. So, yeah. That's a fantastic accomplishment. You mentioned video. So I'm interested to hear your take on that. So, yes, podcasting has sort of, where they're saying it's evolved. I mean, there's a lot of back and forth on what that actually means, but yeah. How did you and your company have to react to the evolution of video along with audio?
I think the first thing to what you were saying before about how it's evolved, like what we touched on. So when it first started, podcasting was literally FM stations pulling off interviews, popping it onto iTunes. Now iTunes doesn't exist anymore. It's Apple Podcasts. And it's kind of split into three, right? Apple TV, Apple Music, Apple Podcasts, right? So that in itself has changed things. How podcasts are called podcasts is because of the iPod. So all these things, right? That was kind of the first iteration of podcasting. Then the next iteration was, okay, we see the value of on-demand content that's audio. Because what we found with what FM stations were doing was there's a geographic restriction as to how many people could listen to your radio program, right? You had to be within that metropolitan area or a radius of that area you were broadcasting in to be able to access that content. Streaming opened that up, podcasting opened that up even more because it gave the listener autonomy. So that part was what we were going through. And then people were like, all right, I want to jump on this. So you found, you know, all the Buffy the Vampire Slayer fans were like creating all these podcasts. You found all the Sex and the City. Oh, I'm going to create a podcast about this. Now we're at a stage where it's, because now celebrities are jumping on board, brands are jumping on board. They're like, there's something missing here. We need the visual aspect. They're like, okay, let's create social media content. Let's create clips for that. Why don't we create a podcast now and make it like a talk show? So it's kind of evolved into this online talk show when you think about it. And with YouTube kind of pioneering a space, especially how data is able to be accessed, it's different from the other apps. Because if you look at podcasting, and I'm getting really into the weeds here, Amy.
Which I love.
Podcasting is a really decentralized media, right? Because Apple has its own data, Spotify has its own data, iHeart has its own data. Your media host has data, but not quite as granular as the other. So it's really hard to get all your data in one place. But YouTube, you can see exactly how many views you have, who your demographic is, where they're coming from, what has caused your your views to spike. It's kind of really made access to podcasting easier and data to podcasting easier, which I think that's why video is one of the reasons why video is so important now and has boomed over the last couple of years.
That's an interesting take on it from a analytics perspective, because the relative transparency of YouTube is very interesting. I find it a fascinating sort of platform to work with in that sense. And I guess transparency then lends itself to people using it more and then the sort of platform growing. So that's an interesting take on that.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, if you want to sustain a podcast, if you are someone who has, 3 to 10,000, 20,000 views, you want to seek sponsorship, you can say to your sponsor or brand that who wants to sponsor you, here you go. Mm-hmm. Right. But if I'm telling you I have 20 million downloads and you can't access my Apple podcast, you don't know if I'm telling the truth.
Yeah, there's no verification on that. No.
Exactly. Whereas YouTube, you can't lie, right? You see how many views
you
are there.
Do. That's so interesting. So then further to the point of video, in addition to Ginny Media, you have the Metro Podcasting Studio, right?
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah, yes. That's okay. Correct. Yeah.
So did that evolve or become because of the video, or what, did you need that space for something else?
So essentially it was something. So when I moved to America in December of 2017, a lot of what I was doing was virtual recordings because my clients were everywhere. That's what I was used to. And there were some clients locally in New York. I'd go and book them a studio to record in because they wanted video for that. And I'm like, why am I booking other people's studio for my clients when I could have my own studio and let my clients use them? So that was just pretty much a convenience strategy. And I had paired up with two people who were thinking of the same thing. And back then there were only two podcast studios in New York. Now there's, I think, plenty more than that, but there is significantly more than that. So the competition is higher because I think post 2020, Amy, people were getting used to hearing poor quality audio and seeing poor quality video. This is because in 2020, we weren't allowed out. So people were doing remote and this platform was not around at that time. It was Zoom.
Yes.
Right. Zoom video quality and audio quality at the time, I know they've evolved since then or have made modifications, but Zoom is not for podcasts. Zoom is a conference call line. Now, as we've evolved, I think creators want that space where they can go have a studio set up for them or have that studio set up and they can just create. And that was the intention behind Metro Podcast Studio. So it was like the step before everything came to Ginny Media. That was the space that creators can go create.
And so in what ways were you experiencing launching each of those similar and how were those journeys different then?
I think the difference between Ginny Media was I'm by myself at Ginny Media. Like I have to deal with everything on my own. I say that, I don't mean to sound like a victim when I'm saying that, but the buck does stop with me. And at times there is this side of being a CEO that's not glamorous, right? It's quite a thankless job when you think about it, right? I have team members coming to me asking me for a pay raise, right? If I give them a pay raise, there's no thank you. It's just accepted. I'm not just talking about the money part of it, but like you're out solving problems for clients. You're solving problems for team members. They might not even know and they're not expected to know. That's why you take on that responsibility of like, I'm going to be a leader and be crazy and start my own business and do all the things. But it can be quite difficult sometimes because every decision you make, it falls on you, right? If you get fired by a client, whether it be a team member doing it, that falls on you and you have to clean up the mess. So there's different things when you're running a business by yourself to when you're running it with one or two other people because you can share that responsibility and that weight. And the other part of entrepreneurship that I think isn't talked about as well is how you celebrate the wins and how you deal with the losses, right? If I sign a six-figure client, I'm working from home most of the time, or even when I'm working in my office in Brooklyn, I'm spinning around on my chair. No one's there to high-five me. Like I have to create that self-discipline and motivation to keep going, right? Like I can slack my team and be like, hey, I did this. They'll be like, yay, heart emoji. But I don't get that high-five. Right. So it does take a lot of self-regulation, self-awareness, self-motivation, self-discipline to keep going on either way. But the difference is one, Ginny Media, everything falls on me, good and bad. And I'm at Metro, I get to share that responsibility with others. And I guess I have to get decisions have to be shared, but also approved and agreed upon by others too.
I like how you call out some of the challenges of being the entrepreneur and being the CEO. I mean, we don't talk a lot about the lonely part of it. And I agree with you. There's no one here. I work from home too. And, you know, the wins and losses are on your own. And so it can be difficult because it looks fairly glamorous from the outside. And then sometimes behind closed doors, there are those challenges. And so what sort of things do you rely on to overcome those challenges?
I guess you have to have, this is going to sound like a very boring old lady answer. Amy, I'm married now. So
I'm up for boring. I'm good.
I think there's got to be systems and processes that you have in place, right? I mean, you can always have goals and aspirations, but the reason why those goals and aspirations aren't achieved is because you don't have a system or a process in place around that. So if you know you're having a bad day, don't have, you know, a performance review with your a team member or employee, because your feedback's going to land 10 times harder. And even on a good day, if you're sharing feedback with a team member, when you're the CEO, that lands 10 times as higher or harder, I should say, than anybody else giving that feedback, because already you're like, even like the other day, I asked my my co-pilot, my assistant Courtney, to be like, hey, can you just reach out to everyone? I want time on my calendar. I want to speak to everybody. What's the first thing they say? Oh, no, it's not nice to speak to Jen. It's like, what does she want? What have I done?
What's wrong?
It's like, exactly. It's like, no, I just want to talk.
I just want to connect, so you know.
Yeah. So it's just having systems and processes around that to be like, okay, to know what you're exactly what you're going to do, because it's already there. You don't want to be making those decisions on the fly, because typically they're going to be emotionally charged and you're probably going to make things or make things more difficult for yourself and say things that you may regret later. So it's important to have those systems and processes in place, and also like have accountability measures for yourself. Be like, okay, if I've been working 60 hours this week, of course I'm going to be tired. So if I'm going to want to go, hey, I'm going to ramp up another 80, it gets to a point where it takes a lot of juggling and balance and discipline. But you got to love it at the end of the day. That's where the crazy comes in, Amy, the crazy, like, right.
I think I'm on the crazy train with you. I get it. Yeah. It's like, I'm working here and there and stopping, and you know, you're making dinner or whatever you're doing, and then you got to go back to it. And sometimes I don't want to, but I do love to get back to, you know, finish the project or publish the podcast or all of those things.
That's amazing.
You talked a little bit about, we've talked a little bit around the people side. So how many people do you have in your organization?
So currently we have 17 people from all over the world. So everywhere from the UK to Italy to the US, to also we have Portugal, we have South America. So we have quite a diverse team all around the world. I was always a remote first company before the cool kids started doing it. I do see value still in remote work. I do see value in, you know, work from home. I also do see value in in-person collaboration. I do think the creative collaboration part is more electrified in person. So that's kind of probably the next step that I'm looking towards. Like, how can I get all our creative minds together and like just create more and create more space for that too?
Oh, I like that. That's a really fantastic goal. So on the people side, then, I guess you talked a little bit about some of the challenges and you seem to be managing people more perhaps than maybe media, I guess we could say. Yeah. So when you have a global staff, what's one of the biggest challenges with that?
Energy management. That's something that's, I think, a challenge for individuals, yet alone a global collective of individuals. It's very easy for any job to get caught in the day-to-day mundane. It's like, okay, here's a task. I've got to write show notes, done, submit. It's going to the next person. And that kind of lack of energy, you feel it with how people show up. You feel it with the questions that they ask. You can tell very quickly who's engaged and who isn't. So managing that energy is very difficult, especially when I'm not in that physical location to, you know, I can't be that personal trainer yelling in there, like, all right, write those show notes and give me some energy. I can't do that, right?
No.
I can jump on so many calls and be like, yo, you know, need you to put more energy in. But how do I create that energy remotely? And is it through collaboration? Is it through accountability measures? So that's the biggest challenge for me at this stage, like knowing who are the A players. So you've got to understand, you know, how connected they feel to their work. Some of them are very brutally honest with me. They're like, I don't live to work. I work to live. I'm like, okay, you need people like that too. Yes. People who are reliable, who work, who are very consistent, but they do the job. You do need people like that. Not everybody's going to be as crazy about your company as you are. But I think it's just a fine line of assessing how much they care, and do they care that appropriate amount for what you need them to do? And how do you continually foster that environment of like, do people feel autonomous enough and in control enough of their tasks? Like there's all these categories that you can kind of look at your team and manage, but energy management is the most difficult because life changes, things ebb and flow. So it takes a lot of investment as a leader to continually check in with people. Hey, so you've had two kids since you started, like life's different. Like, but the fact that I hear like some leaders don't know that, you know, their team members have gone through this big life change, they're going to be different, and it's important to check in where they're at.
Yeah, it really is. And I suppose the energy management is such a great thing to talk about, because if you don't have that, and then you talked about bringing creativity, that level up, you're going to lose the creativity if you don't have the energy, I suppose.
Energy is the most important ingredient in content creation, in anything, really. Relationship building, insert whatever you want. Energy is the most important ingredient in insert whatever you want. If energy isn't there, you know very quickly that person isn't invested. They're not engaged, and they're not willing to make the best decisions for you or your company or your clients, insert whatever you want, responsibility that you have in the company, to take that piece of work, that creation to the level that you expect or the standard that you expect. And that's why I think energy management takes the most work. It takes a lot of energy for energy management. Yeah.
So let's get some advice from you now. So you've talked a little bit about how you've grown Ginny Media and how you've expanded into the podcasting studio. So how do you know when it's time to grow or scale a business?
That was a great question that you wrote. I'm like, gosh, that's like a gut question, Amy. How do you know when it's time to grow or scale? So for me, I'm just going off personal experience. I ran a business before Ginny Media that failed miserably, wasn't profitable, hired the wrong team members, didn't listen to my gut when I'm like, this isn't making sense. You're spending more money than bringing back. So that's a time where you know that you need to abort the mission. But in terms of growth and scale, I would look at the first thing is look at your resources. It's a process of constant evaluation. And I use these words and people are like, that's so boring, evaluation. I'm like, call it reflection. I don't know what you want to call it. Call it a thinking day. But you do need to constantly reflect on what you're doing, why you're doing it, what you've done. Do you need to be doing it? Do you want to be doing it? These are questions you need to ask yourself very often. Right. And there's things that, you know, I talk to my right hand, Courtney, who's my assistant, every few months. I'm like, this is what I want, how I want to manage my time. And she's like, okay, cool. We'll block this out this way. And if I'm realizing I'm more energetic in the morning and in the afternoon, I can do this. You got to constantly ask yourself questions, constantly evaluate your energy, constantly evaluate your resources, because 9 times out of 10, you will find when you do that evaluation, there's things that you can eliminate, there's things that you can delegate, and there's things that you could probably modify altogether. If you don't do that and you continually run on the mill, you're probably going to burn out, or you're going to burn through money very quickly. So that's a point where you know you need to grow or scale. And then the other option is to think about, how are you going to source that financially to grow and scale? Are you going to take out an SBA loan? Are you going to take out, a line of credit? One thing that I didn't learn about until very recently was something called MCA loans, Merchant Cash Advances. That's quick money in, doesn't affect your credit score, but it has a high interest payback. That's probably the last recommendation I'd make. I would say that's probably a last resort. You got to really practically think about how you're going to financially source this situation, how you're going to grow it. So resources, how you're going to financially manage that. And do you need people, money, tech? You know, think about what you need to actually grow and scale that.
That's really good advice. I think we could have a whole other podcast on how to finance an entrepreneurial venture, for sure.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask you this then, when in your reflection, or I forget what the boring word was, which I like better. What's the last thing you delegated?
Oh, last thing I delegated was, so I like running tests on things. I am obsessed with, you know, processes. I'm like, how could we do this more efficiently, but still maintain the standard that we expect? So the last thing I delegated was a test that I ran with the trailers that we're making for clients, Virginia Media. I'm like, typically, you know, we'll take the content that's recorded and we'll pull it into a certain like order, and then we'll add audio to it. Then we'll put video to it. So I ran a test on how do you pick the parts for the best trailer? So I did that, and I'm teaching someone else to do it. I'm teaching one of my writers to do it. So that is a thing. I'm like, okay, now you go write the trailers. And I do the same thing for show notes. I'm like, let me look at the show notes. What can we do here? I'm going to test doing these keywords instead for this client. Done that. It's proven. Here you go. So that's kind of what I do day in, day out. I run tests, and I'm obsessed with running tests because I'm like, with AI and, you know, everything that's changing with production, I'm like, okay, you got to jump on the bandwagon at some stage. It may as well be now.
Yes, it's a whole another thing you have to figure out along the way, for sure. Yeah. It's an interesting thing to delegate. It's like you know what you want, and then you're able to give it to someone. You're not just offloading it without figuring out how you want it done first. I think that's a really good way to do things.
Yeah, exactly.
So outside of interviewing awesome people, what's your favorite thing about podcasting? I guess more in the back end, what's your favorite thing about it?
I love learning, Amy, and that sounds really weird. You mean
no,
awesome.
Not at all.
I love learning new ways about. I like being invited or like being shown new ways of thinking. And this goes back to what we were talking about before, where I feel that nowadays thinking can be so siloed in certain ways, and when we kind of jump to conclusions when we don't know how to react to someone, right? And I get sometimes those reactions are valid, not invalidating that, but I think we've lost that touch of how do I understand where this person is coming from, because that's not being demonstrated. All we see is this polarity of you don't agree with me, therefore I'm against you. Like, why can't we just make this an NBA game? Not that life is a game, but like, I can, you know what I'm saying? Like, can't we adopt that same, like
the rules, the societal rules that go with being in a sporting event, for sure.
Exactly. Because I think like it's like you have permission to disagree with me, and you know, you have the safety of knowing that I'm not going to vilify you or invalidate you for that. So again, you know, wanting to elevate voices also does come with a consequence, right? The freedoms that comes with it's all these different things. But I think podcasting definitely has the ability to be a vehicle to learn how to ask questions, to get curious, and to really be able to really hear someone in a way that you probably, and be open to a way of thinking that you probably wouldn't have had before. So that's what I really love about podcasting.
Oh, I love that too. I mean, to feed your curiosity, that's partly why I do it as well. And you're right. I would rather people be curious about the other opinion rather than be just closed-minded to it.
Yeah. It's like, well, why do you think that? What are you scared of in that consequence? Like, understand that about them. It's like, okay, you don't have to agree with them. No one's saying that you, just because you understand them, that you agree with them, but just understand why they think that way. Let's connect with that. And, you know, if all else fails, ask them if they love their mother. If not, ask them if they love food. One of those two things, you're going to get a yes and something to connect on.
I like that. That's really good, simple things. That's perfect. Yeah. I love that. It's good. So one more big piece of advice. What advice do you have for the next generation of women leaders?
Don't be afraid to say no. I know we're in a world and a culture, especially digitally, where it's like, say yes. It's all positive reinforcement. Yeses are necessary. Yeses are what gets you to trial things. Yeses give you opportunities. Yeses get you in the right rooms with the right people who help you build your business. I get the yeses. But also, don't be afraid to say no, because if something isn't feeling right, chances are it's not right for you. I think we also ignore our gut a lot as female leaders, right? Because we have that fear of, I'm not going to get this opportunity again. You know, going back to high school or elementary school, if you weren't picked for the team, you relive those experiences in entrepreneurship. That doesn't change, unfortunately. entrepreneurship is like therapy. It's like a playground, and you perhaps do need a therapist outside of that as well. But life is like a playground, right? And entrepreneurship is no different. So don't be afraid to say no, and don't be afraid to ask questions rather than accept things as they are. Because, you know, I found with reasonable people that you work with, if you ask questions, if you agree to certain things and you say no to certain things, reasonable people will be reasonable with you, right? Unreasonable people will be unreasonable with you. It's just setting boundaries, having those boundaries for yourself. That's so important. The other thing I will say is invest in yourself more so than you invest in your business. I think that's the most important thing. I wish I learned how to take care of myself before. Now I had no choice when I started to be an entrepreneur. It's like, well, you got to take care of yourself because, you know, you have bigger responsibilities and people relying on you to make life decisions. And I don't mean that to sound like I put on my cape every morning. I'm literally in my pajamas. But whatever your cape is, like, that is so important that you invest in yourself and not feel guilty about it, because you need that for yourself and for your business.
Well, we all need it. If you have to show up every day, you have to be able to show up every day, and that requires taking care of yourself. So that absolutely makes sense. But we don't do it. Women especially, we're last on the list of what all the things that we're doing, and it's a hard thing to change.
Yeah, 100%. 100%, Amy.
I love when you say ask questions. I'm a huge question asker. I wouldn't say it's gotten me in trouble. I don't say that anymore. I probably used to, though. I think now what it does is it gives me information, because how people react to me asking questions tells me a lot about them and if I want to have a relationship with them or be in business with them. Because if they think that makes me difficult, then that's a big red flag for me. Or are they interested in having a conversation about my questions and don't see it as threatening?
Now, let me ask you a question on that note.
Wait a second. I didn't agree to that.
When you ask someone a question, what do you observe, Amy? Do you observe their body language and response to that question, or do you more so take in their verbal response, or both?
Probably both. I mean, sometimes, so my first career was in automotive, so highly male dominated. So you can sort of, for me, and it was, you know, 25 years ago, so there's a different culture and scenario that I was working within, but being dismissed is something you can easily pick up on very quickly when you try and ask a question. Or, you know, it's like they make you feel badly for not knowing the answer if you're new, because I would have been new at that point. And, or someone says, oh, you can, if someone guides you, oh, you can find that there, or this is where you could, you know, how do they respond to me asking questions? Is it an annoyance? Is it something they see as curiosity or willing to grow? You know, those kinds of things. And it takes a long time to figure it out, because sometimes you think, oh, that was a dumb question. I shouldn't have asked that in that space. That was wrong of me. It takes you a long time to get to the point to say, no, I should be able to ask any question that I want within reason, politely, all of the things, obviously, but it's okay to ask questions. I totally agree with you. It's okay. But it takes a long time to get used to doing it, because you get so many different responses. So you have to be able to react to so many different responses. It's not just yes, no, it's varied.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's also, you do learn a lot about when you ask people questions, because if people stew on it, I can't believe you asked me that question. Yeah. It's like, I was curious.
I just want to know.
You're clearly still hung up about it. Yeah. I find it interesting, Amy, when you do ask people questions, what they're more upset about. The fact that, are they upset about the fact that you were thinking something to ask that question, or are they reading into what you might be presuming to inspire asking that question? And some people are just offended that you questioned that in the first place. So I just find that all fascinating, the reactions to questions sometimes.
I do too. I'm always like, why are you giving me a hard time for asking a question? But I've run into it a lot, and it's interesting. Yeah. But, you know, you get to pass that knowledge on like you are. And I think that that's also very important, because, you know, there's all kinds of problems in the world. If we can mitigate some of them for female leaders, we might as well try.
I think George has come to join in.
Wow.
Oh, yay.
Well, you want to join in?
He's such a diva. God.
Hi, George.
Okay.
We love when cats join. So before we go, I want to ask you sort of what's next for you personally, professionally, or creatively?
I think professionally for me, Amy, I'm really thinking about, okay, what is this next phase of Ginny Media? Because it's a rapidly changing world there with AI. And I was just thinking, okay, how can I really level up Ginny Media and still make it in alignment with how I started it. Because I love what I do every day. You obviously have to want to run a business. But I'm really thinking about, could I integrate things more? Like, could I integrate the studio more into what I do? And I'm also really looking at my relationships. Like, who are really the relationships in my life, business or personal, that are bringing A player value to me, and how can I be A player value to them? You could just meet one person and all of a sudden you look at things differently, and you know, you think of a business idea. So that's what I'm leaning into too, and kind of you know, I'm married now and there's more priorities, and
you have a cat that is very high needs. I mean, that's high priority.
He's very high priority and high needs. He's such a ham, but it's just those things, like, you know, I want to make sure that I'm present for my family too. So that's kind of where I've got to really say no to some things to do that. I've got to really be disciplined, and I've really got to take care of myself in order to do that too.
So you're taking all your own advice and applying it. That rarely happens. So good for you.
Thank you. I am trying.
That's all we can do, really. Well, thank you so much for taking the time. This has been so much fun. And I look forward to season, what number is it? I didn't even ask, I don't think.
Gosh,
season lots of the Ginny Show. So we all look forward to learning along with you. So thank you so much for taking the time today.
Thank you so much for having me, Amy. And thank you for putting up with this little ones.
We love the cats. Always. Indiness. They're always welcome.
He just wants to be on a podcast. I'm like, I can't produce your podcast, George. I don't do that for family.
That's right. No. You know, that might be your next idea, the cat podcast. I think that could be something.
That'd be great. Oh, thank you, MC.
See? Collaboration already.
Amazing.
Voices of Leadership is part of the Bespoke Productions Hub network of independent podcasters. If you are interested in partnering with us as a sponsor, or if you have a podcast of your own, please visit bespokeproductionshub.com for more information. This episode is hosted, produced, and edited by me, Amy Schluter.